You're listening to the Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
Sorry, it's third down now. Third and seven for Bentley. Low snap handled. He's throwing fade route right side. Leaping! Caught! Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Casey Crosby! All right, Bentley now. Third down and five. Working out of the gun. Moves a man over to the left side. Bentley in the pocket. Fade route again. Far sideline. Fighting for it. Got it this time. Caught. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, Brian Edwards from 24 yards out.
Hello, Gamecock Nation. Welcome to TRC Unleashed, episode number 91. All right, quick quiz. Who wears number 91 for the Gamecocks right now?
That would be Blackshear.
Shamik Blackshear. Who's another troublemaking defensive end who used to wear number 91 for the Gamecocks?
Mo Thompson.
Charles Silas?
Not Charles Silas. It was Mo Thompson.
Charles Silas wore 91, didn't he?
Was he a troublemaker?
A little bit. He got in a fight at Clemson.
Oh, did he really? No,
he was the main victim.
Was he really? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we do.
On the ground.
That's what we do on TRC Unleashed for everybody who's like 40 and over. We just bring up names that, you know, bring back horrible memories for you. You know. Wasn't Mo Thompson's mom involved at some point? Wasn't she like writing letters or going on the news or something like that?
No parents do that kind of thing. No parents would ever do that.
So that's what I was going to say. This is kind of timely. We'll talk about that shortly. So this is TRC Unleashed. My name is Buck. I'm coming to you from North Atlanta, and I'm joined by the G-Man, who is stationed in the Midlands of South Carolina, and T-Bone, who is located where the Blue Ridge yawns its greatness.
Where the Tigers play.
Tell me what does the Blue Ridge yawning its greatness mean? Because when I think of yawning indicates one of two things to me. You're tired or you're bored.
Or there's the Technicolor yawn, which is the way I like to think of it. Calling Ralph on the big white phone. That's kind of what
makes you think of vomiting.
Yes.
Yeah, that's always, I've always thought that was kind of weird. The Blue Ridge yawns its greatness. So anyway, I'll tell you what, let's jump right in. We have had very little interaction with each other since our last podcast, a few texts here and there. T-Bone's been kind of, he's been a little aloof since college started for his son. Wouldn't you agree, G-Man? He's been kind of been a little different.
I would have to agree with you. And for one thing, I mean, the guy doesn't listen. He can't pay attention to simple directions. Like, you know, we try to schedule these podcasts, right? We try to schedule these podcasts, right? And Buck has a very specific reason why he has to start them at a specific time. Right. And, he says, I can't start before X. Let's just say for sake of argument, that's 9:30.
Yeah, let's say that.
Let's just say that. And so that's been well established, and it's texted. Everybody acknowledges it. And then we get to the time we're trying to schedule a podcast. And, you know, team of first time, 8:30.
How about 8 o'clock? Can you guys start at 8 o'clock?
We're still talking over here.
The adults are talking.
We're still talking. And so like we try to settle it. We say, no, do you remember the text message? And he half-heartedly acknowledges it. You know,
and he goes, okay,
then,
nine.
The next time we do this all again, the next week, what do we get? Same thing. Like, at times I have been accused of being, you know, insensitive to people on this podcast.
Waitresses in particular.
Well, yeah. Wait staff, which is patently untrue.
Wait
staff. I just want to make I just want to clear the record here that somebody was not paying attention.
It's really not paying. Really insensitive.
Okay. Just in, if we could move this along, because I've got a thing after this. Okay.
If you stop moving your camera around, I feel like I'm in the Blair Witch Project. You keep turning the camera and keep moving, and I'm getting a little dizzy.
I'm so cold.
So, all right. Saturday night, or Saturday afternoon, we opened up our bright, shiny new toy against UMass, and he was pretty much everything he was advertised to be until the second half, when Kurt Roper took out his batteries and just stared at him for about 30 minutes of game time until he decided to put the batteries back in the last series just in time for us to put the game away. So that toy I'm talking about, of course, is Jake Bentley, the guy who is supposed to be a senior at Opelika High right now, instead is the starting quarterback at the University of South Carolina. So I'm going to credit our friend from Twitter, the Feathered Warrior. He sent a series of questions that really just set the podcast up for us. I asked him if he'd be interested in being our executive producer, and he said as long as we don't have brown M&Ms, that he would be glad to do it. But I think we only have brown M&Ms, don't we? We took out all the other colors.
Yeah. G-Man's eating something. You can hear it, kind listener.
Right. It looks like oatmeal or something. So here's the first question. Before the game, did you like this or not like it? And since G-Man's got his mouth full, I'll go to T-Bone. Did you like this or not like it?
Did not like it.
And why not?
I did not like it because I thought that there's very little chance of us actually winning anything that matters this year. And I felt like that it would probably be a good idea for us to get a year or two gap in eligibility between our two quarterbacks of the future.
G-Man, like or dislike?
I have to say that beforehand, a two-part answer. Beginning of the year, I would have been strongly against this.
Right.
I wanted to redshirt somebody to create some separation, like T-Bone said. But as the season has gone on and the offense has, shall we say, failed to produce, I have started...
To coin a phrase.
Is that fair? I have started to think that maybe this was the right thing to do. And so if it had not happened, I would not have been upset, but I was starting to move in that direction.
Yeah, I'm kind of with the G-Man here. I guess I'm with both of you. I thought it was a bad idea, but probably like the coaching staff, I saw what this offense was doing or what this offense was not doing. We were 128th out of 128 in scoring. I don't know what our G-Man's finishing up his dinner here. I don't know where we were statistically running the ball, passing the ball, but the offense was just terrible. And in a sense, it's a desperation move. I think it was a desperation move. But at the same time, the coaching staff obviously saw something in practice and something in Jake Bentley that said, you know, we might be able to steal a game or two here down the stretch because we'll be able to produce more on the offensive side of the football. And I don't know. I think we win the game Saturday with McElwain or with Orth. Because it's UMass, I just feel like we would have found a way to win that game on Saturday. But it was certainly nice to see a big, tall, strapping, strong quarterback with a gun for an arm, you know, and nice touch. And his poise was the most impressive thing to me, was how he handled the stage, you know?
I'm starting to think that this is not just about trying to win a couple more games. This is also about recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these kids out here, it's what have you done for me lately? And we've got a pretty good recruiting class that we have been able to compile so far, but we lost a guy here or there. And these guys have short attention spans. I think these guys want to see that we can compete.
Right.
And the coaches are worried that they might think we can't compete. And like you said, we got this guy, and he's a very high-level recruit. He can clearly play. And I think they're thinking, you know, we better not go, you know, 3-9. We better win some ball games, or we may lose some of these guys. And so I think they decided to cash in that year, the redshirt year, and think, you know, we got to go with what we got now and see if we can win some ball games. Because next year, if you start with him and he's never played, then, you know, it's you got a learning curve there. So right. Now at least he's got some time under his belt.
Yeah. So the two questions Feathered Warrior asked, what's the biggest reason starting Bentley was a good idea? I think we covered that. What's the biggest reason it was a mistake? Probably touched on that a little bit. I think, you know, you do lose that extra year. A lot of people have said, oh, yeah, but he's going to leave for the NFL early. If you think Jake Bentley is going to leave early for the NFL, you know, before he ever played a college football game, I promise you that was not taken into consideration by Will Muschamp and his coaching staff. Muschamp said before the season, he's not playing for next year. He's playing for this year, and he's going to put the best players out there that give this team a chance to win. And that's what they did on Saturday when they put Jake Bentley out there. And yeah, we're six games into the season. And yeah, six games ago, Jake Bentley wasn't ready, but they figured they had an open week to get him ready. He obviously showed him something in practice, and here we are. And Jake Bentley's not going to – there's not going to be a revolving door at quarterback anymore. Perry Orth is done, okay? Unless Bentley and McElwain both get hurt, Perry Orth is done. Thank you for your time, Perry. We appreciate your service to the University of South Carolina. And McElwain's going to come in and run packages just like he did Saturday. And people were bent out of shape about, oh, all he did was come in and run the ball. Well, he hasn't proven he can throw it. So what else is he going to do? I mean, yeah, and he's a better runner anyway.
In thinking about that, you know, context is important. And I saw online where someone had made the comparison to Roper's team at Duke when they had a couple of quarterbacks. They had the starter, and then they had a guy that came in situationally. And, you know, the merit to that is more than just, oh, you make them prepare for a running quarterback and a throwing quarterback. It also divides how much time they can spend on tendencies and weaknesses and strengths. It does all those things, and it lets probably your backup focus on a half dozen plays. You know, they're gonna say you're gonna go in the following situations. You need to execute these half dozen plays, and it really lets them focus. The best context I can think of is Corey Jenkins' first year at South Carolina, where he came in and played for Phil Petty. He would come in, and when he came in, he had, you know, basically three things he was trying to do. And it worked really well. So I was excited about that. I texted to you guys during the game, hey, look, it looks like we actually have a plan at quarterback now. Yeah. So I'm actually pretty optimistic about that.
And I think there's some pass plays in the playbook for McElwain.
Right.
Yeah. So I think we lost T-Bone there for a second, but I think he was agreeing with you that there are some. Yeah, they'll, you know, the playbook's going to be open more and more as we go. And I mean, how much do you think of this is also appeasing Brandon McElwain? You know, because a lot of people have said, oh, well, you know, McElwain's gone. He's going to transfer. So does this.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think these coaches put too much stock in that. I mean, hopefully they're telling these kids, you know, we're going to give you an opportunity to play. If you earn playing time, you can play. But if you don't earn playing time, you're not going to play. I mean, I get kind of tired of this feeling sorry for the quarterback stuff when they get benched. What about all the other players who get benched all the time? What about David Williams, who got benched for a couple games? What about what's the tailback? Turner. He didn't play hardly at all on Saturday. Nobody's feeling sorry for him, you know? I mean, the quarterback gets far too much credit and far too much blame, and occasionally you're going to get sit down, you know, or they're going to sit you down, and you're just going to have to let the other guy play, and you're just going to have to keep your mouth shut and hope next time it's your turn.
I mean, just point to the Cleveland Browns. They're on like their fifth quarterback this season. You know, things can happen at that position. I think if you're on the two deep at quarterback, unless you are, you know, some kind of elite athlete, in which case you're not going to be second. I just feel like it's overblown. I agree with you.
And people need two quarterbacks these days. Look at all the injuries right. that happen at quarterback. You need two quarterbacks. And for what I've heard, McElwain has been a good teammate. I saw him cheering on Bentley,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think, I mean, I'm gonna assume that he is gonna be a good teammate, and he understands that this is a team sport, and he's gonna be fine with it. You know, he may get his opportunities, he may not, but you gotta have two quarterbacks. I mean, where else are you gonna go? Okay,
and he's also been modeled good behavior by Perry Orth. I mean, Perry Orth
exactly.
that whole thing. Like a champ, and so, you know, he's got a model of good behavior.
Yeah.
I mean, every major college team in America has multiple quarterbacks. These guys always want to transfer. They always want to leave as soon as somebody else beats them out. But, you know, you got quarterbacks transferring all over the place every year. It kind of, you know, it's kind of ridiculous if you want to know how I really feel about it. I think they ought to hang around, get a chance to play, wait your turn, you'll get your shot.
So that leads to another question from Feathered Warrior. Lena, Brandon's mom, Lena McElwain drama, legitimate beef or mom being mom? So let me read this real quick. And this was brought on by a post by J.C. Sherbert, who wrote about how don't give up on Brandon McElwain, and his mom took offense to that and said it's the most biased article I've ever read. Brandon never played with Debo and Edwards on the field at the same time. That's a game changer. Brandon is repeatedly told that his strength is running the ball. Never before has he been so unfairly pigeonholed. He has always fearlessly and successfully thrown the ball very well, as any quarterback is trained to do. If the deep threat is there, he will deliver, but he has not had that opportunity. And then she came back a little later in another post and basically said this was the coaching staff justifying, you know, they basically set up Brandon to fail so they could put the coach's son in at quarterback. So anything at all about what she did justified, or was she just being a mama bear?
You know, let me say this, because, and I don't know that this is going to be necessarily the opinion that we want to trademark as TRC's opinion, but stop paying attention to what parents say about their athletic kids. You know, we sit here as three parents of at least teenagers, some slightly older than that. And I'll tell you right now, you say something about my kid, it's time to go to war. You know, I mean, do not put too much credence in what a hurt mom's feelings might do. Now, social media is making it worse, but seriously, she gets a pass on this on my book. I think every parent feels that way about their kid.
If you're McElwain, are you not? Or if you're Brandon McElwain, are you not horrified by this?
Yes, yeah, news flash: every teenager is horrified by everything their parents do. This just goes on the pile.
Yeah, I think it was a mistake. I would hope to think that she regrets, you know, posting that on Facebook. You know, I mean, the kids in college, you know, nobody wants their mother fighting their mother fighting a battle for them while they're in college as a college quarterback. I mean, nobody wants that. I mean, that's very bad for the kid. I'm sure he wants to fight his own battles, and he wants to rise and fall on his own merits, not with his mom, you know, whining about playing time or whatever. And the whole thing about setting it up so they could bring in the coach's son, I mean, really, you think that Coach Muschamp is going to kowtow to Coach Bentley and play his son to the detriment of his football team?
Yeah.
I mean, please, he's going to put in there the best. His job is to win football games, and he's going to put in there the best players that he can to win the football game, period.
Yeah, the only reason he would do something like that is if, you know, he was counting on Bentley to hire him next year. right. You know, $6 million a year job.
Yeah.
And I don't
yeah.
think that's going to happen.
So. This ain't rec ball. There's no agenda. This is about winning football games. And, you know, Brandon McElwain played against some horrible defenses. I mean, horrible defenses and didn't produce. And Perry Orth produced on and off, but not consistently enough. So Jake Bentley got his shot. He played well. You know, the stakes are much higher come Saturday against Tennessee. He's going to have to go to Florida. He's going to have to go to Clemson. So long way to go before the book on Jake Bentley is written.
Or Brandon McElwain.
Or Brandon right. McElwain. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Final question from Feathered Warrior was the biggest takeaway from the UMass game for someone who wasn't able to watch. So I think we've covered the quarterback situation quite well. I jotted down a couple of other things. Our defense scares me. I mean, it just absolutely scares me right now. I know it's better than last year, and nobody has scored 30 points on us yet. But, man, we cannot get off the field on third down. We're getting gashed for big runs. We're out of position on a lot of plays. Does the defense scare you guys as much as me?
It scares me at times. I mean, I think we have some playmakers, but we're very average. We have a lot of depth up front, but we're pretty average up front. You know, everybody seems about the same. Linebackers, you know, again, we're pretty average. I think, you know, Bryson Allen Williams is having a good year. He's playing better. He's stopping people instead of hitting you and bouncing off of you this year.
Right, right.
Safety is just bad, bad.
Disaster.
Cornerback, I have to say the cornerback has been a bright spot for me.
Yeah.
I think the defensive line has not gotten the push that we thought they were going to get. And linebacker, we're not making dynamic plays. We're just kind of average across the board on defense, you know. But you know, better than we thought we were going to be. But it scares me, you know. I think we definitely people can put some points on us. But heck, look at Missouri. They're supposed to have a good defense, right?
Maybe oh, yeah.
Tennessee State put 51 points on them. What about Oklahoma? They're supposed to be pretty good on defense, right? You see what Texas Tech did to them?
Was it 59?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of good defenses or a lot of good personnel, you know, getting walloped with a lot of points these days. And I think it's just partly the nature of college football, unfortunately.
Yeah, that NC State defense that seemed to have solved Deshaun Watson to
right.
a certain extent, they got rocked.
They were down 44 to nothing later. At the half. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Right. You never know.
You know, some other things that stuck out to me, I mean, I've been on the Rico Dowdle train, you know, since the first time he stepped on the football field. And I think he needs to get 20 to 25 carries a game. You know, David Williams got 70 yards on Saturday, but Dowdle just looks different. I mean, he's a tackle breaker. He can slash. I can't wait to see him get into the open field at some point and
some speed. I feel like Dowdle, if he were kind of an ever down back, he looks the part. And Williams, you know, I was glad to see Williams get his carries, but I swear if he would take those ice skates off before he went on the field, you know, if he gets in the same zip code as somebody, even his own man, his feet go out from under him.
Yeah.
I think Williams played primarily, they wanted a veteran back there with Bentley for the pass protections.
It's a good call.
I think that was pass protections and things like that.
Yeah,
you know, Williams has been around. And also I saw, I think they were looking for a little more of a power back, you know, you look at these backs who are just, you know, gashing people in the SEC. You look at Alabama's backs, look at the kid at Tennessee. Most of these backs who are really making noise are power backs. I mean, and Turner is a classic third down back. I mean, that's what he's going to be for us. I mean, what you said one time, Mike Reddick, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we need power backs, and Williams, despite his deficiencies, is a big body back who can get in there and you know, if he's going forward, he's gonna pound you and roll forward for a couple yards. But Dowdle, yeah, he's got something extra. He really does. I love his physical nature. And he's got a little shake to him.
Yeah. Another guy who I never would have thought would impress me as much as he has is Deebo Samuel. When Debo's healthy with the ball in his hands, man, the dude is a playmaker. You don't realize how much you miss him until you see him out there. I mean, we're finally starting to see, you know, why people were so excited about Deebo Samuel. He had one good game last year against Clemson. This year he's catching the tunnel screens. And, you know, how many times has that play been blown up for us, you know, in the last 5 years? We try to run a tunnel screen or just a, you know, a quick screen to the wide receiver and they just get eaten up. He makes people miss, and he gets yards out of it, it seems like, every time. And between he and Edwards, that catch by Casey Crosby the other day.
Oh,
everybody's like, oh, what a throw by Bentley. Are you kidding me? That catch was SportsCenter, you know, top 10 worthy. I mean, that was a beautiful catch.
And you know, we scored 34 points, and Hurst had one catch, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, we're spreading the ball around a little. I mean, that's what you're going to have when you got a quarterback who can sling it. And the it was a great catch by Crosby, wasn't it nice to see a quarterback who could just step back and just fire the thing on the fade down the sidelines?
Oh yeah,
I mean, just effortless, you
right.
know.
Right.
And I was impressed by the first completion of the game, the out pattern to Edwards.
Yeah.
On the first series.
First completion of the game and the last completion of the game.
Right.
Both good looking throws and in clutch situations.
Right.
Yeah, and everybody was complaining about the screens. I mean, we run a lot of that. That's part of the Kurt Roper offense. But, you know, we saw the other night three or four balls down the field, you know, 20 or 25 yards, on the outer thirds of the field, which is something we haven't seen from any of our other quarterbacks. Perry Orr throws that ball, but it doesn't look the same when Jake Bentley throws that ball. I mean, it's more of a rope when Bentley cuts
it
loose.
When Orr throws it, it's a jump ball.
Yeah. The only other thing I jotted down was dropped punts. Is there an NCAA record for number of fumbled punts in a season? Because we've got to be nearing it.
We got at least to have six or seven. And you guys know, y'all remember in the Vanderbilt game, you remember how I don't watch them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I've started watching a few. Just because it doesn't seem to matter. I mean, it's just. I mean, we're an equal opportunity punt dropper. I mean, because you've had Fenton's dropped them, you've had what's his name, Lamont's has dropped them.
King dropped one.
Oh, and Dowdle dropped one. I mean,
and here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing, and this is kind of a little bit of a hot take, and you're going to laugh at it. But first, let me just say we made fun of Hayden Hurst the other day. He was right. Just point at the ball.
Just get away from it.
You can't hurt anything. But the second thing is, do we need to start talking about the fact that we don't have a dedicated special teams coach? I mean, I think our inside linebackers coach also does special teams. And from the first play of the 2016 season until now, our special teams have just been trash.
Right.
What is going on? And does it have anything to do with the fact we don't have – you know, we're not putting coaching resources in that position.
What if we didn't have what if we didn't have a good kicker and a good punter? How bad would our special teams
be? How bad would it
be? I mean, the punt return, it's just embarrassing. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a team. I mean, we drop like one out of every three.
Yeah, put Hurst back there and let him point at it. At least we'll, you know, on the team.
Let him wave his arms, you know.
Right.
I mean, honestly, that punt drop in the second half was the momentum changer in the game.
It almost cost us the game.
If you think about it, I mean, we dropped the punt. Yeah, granted, we got an interception a couple plays later. But ironically, Lamont's?
Yeah.
I can't ever say
Lamont's.
It. He catches another one. He caught one. That was pretty amazing.
Right.
But then
we
fumbled right back to him. But that flipped the momentum of that game. And after that, we were on the defensive the rest of that ball game. I mean, and the same thing happened when Hurst didn't catch the punt in the Georgia game.
Yeah, it's hard to stay on schedule when you got special teams, you know, throwing everything off. It's very hard.
Yeah.
So a couple more quick questions. Patrick Warren on Twitter says, three starting quarterbacks, three wins. Coincidence?
Hey, Skarnecki is getting the call against UT.
That fourth win. Take the red shirt off Nunez. Let's get five. He says also Tommy and Todd were cutting on Helms in the second half, and then he was named the OL of the game. Thoughts on that? I didn't hear what Tommy and Todd had to say about Helms.
I wouldn't put too much credence in anything Todd say on
right.
broadcast.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't either. I mean, I guess he got the offensive lineman of the game. I got to be honest with you. I watch – the only time I see the offensive line is when somebody just gets beat, you know, and the defensive line gets to our quarterback. So I don't pay as much attention to the – T-Bone, you used to be a big offensive line man.
Well, yeah, you know, you watch the tackles at the beginning of the play and you kind of know what's going to happen. And then, you know, age-old football analogy, follow the guard to the ball.
Yeah.
You know? If you follow the guard, you're going to the football. So, actually, I've stopped watching everything, including all special teams plays like G-Man does.
Right. That's wise
except move. Except for the pulling guards, and I'm all over them.
You just keep refreshing your ESPN app, see what the score is, and
right.
don't watch right. any of it.
Right.
Rubber Chicken Awards. I'll let you think for 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. G-Man, Rubber Chicken.
Oh, man, I was pointing at T-Bone. Oh, man, you got to put me on the spot here. I'm going to go with a man we've already talked about. Now, I'll let you have him. I'm going to go with Deba.
Okay.
Just for the reasons you stated, it brings a little excitement, much needed excitement to the game. You know, a couple of plays where he caught those screens and kind of made a move and made a guy miss. I'm like, it almost took you back to the Ace Sanders days, you know, when you had that right. excitement at the wideout position, which we haven't had in a while. So excited to see him. And I like the jet sweeps are running with him. He broke one for about a 25 yard gain in the first half. And you're right. It's finally good to see some of the hype that they've been talking about for the last couple of years with that guy. So I'm going to give it to Deba.
I knew who I was. Oh, I'll tell you who I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with number 7 on defense, Jamarcus King.
That's a good call.
You know why? Because we didn't hear his name called all day Saturday. I don't know that we had his name called all day last Sunday when we played Georgia. And when you don't hear a cornerback's name called, that's a good thing. That means they're not throwing at him because they know they can't beat him. So Jamarcus King gets my silent rubber chicken award.
He did have a couple pass breakups, though. I remember he came over and knocked the ball away. I mean, he's a player.
Yep. T-Bone.
Yeah, I like watching him play. First, a quick reason I'm not going to pick number 4, and I'm not going to pick number 4 either on offense or defense. But if you saw the post-game presser, some knucklehead in the media, and I don't know who it is, and I hope it isn't anybody that follows us or listens to this, but he asked Muschamp straight up, how would you compare Jake Bentley's performance to maybe what we saw out of Connor Shaw while he was here? And Muschamp looked at him and said, really?
He said, "We just beat UMass.
We just beat UMass." Yeah, right. He said it out loud. We just beat UMass. And so, you know, it's too early to start going down with heady awards like the Rubber Chicken Award. We don't want that to go to the kid's head.
Right.
So I'm going to give it to Casey Crosby for that great catch when nobody is noticing him.
Yeah. Good call, Casey Crosby. Is that his full name?
Casey.
Yeah.
I think it's Kelvin Cornelius Crosby. Sorry.
So he doesn't have nearly as many names as most people that T-Bone picks for the Rubber Chicken Award. So we had an interesting thing happen on Friday night. And this cracks me up because people still and not many, but occasionally people will accuse us of being media, you know. They'll accuse us of being on the side of the media. Yeah. We had it happen fairly recently. So I think a lot of people think we're insiders. They think we know people or maybe have some – and we really don't. We are 3 old guys who are fans who – you know, just like to write and talk about Gamecock football. That's pretty much.
I think it.
Old guy. How about middle-aged guys?
Middle-aged guys.
Yeah.
At one iteration of the TRC webcast website, I believe we called ourselves an outsiders blog.
Right.
So that's how much we're not insiders.
Now we're so good. I mean, we've been invited on Sports Talk, you know, more than once. We've actually appeared one time. We can get premium guests, you know, like the captain. And like Phil Kornblut and K-Mac, and we've had folks like that. So that
we've had coaches.
We've had Scott Swanson has been on the show before. So when you're just really good, then you know people gravitate towards you, right? You guys agree with that?
Absolutely.
I think our audience probably agrees with that too.
Yeah.
So anyway, there was all this talk of Jake Bentley. I didn't – nowhere did I see, and I'm not a member of any of the insider sites or anything like that. Never did I see anybody say, hey, we got confirmation, you know, Jake Bentley starting. It was always, you know, he's taking a lot of snaps. And, you know, Muschamp's talking like they're going to make a change at quarterback, but I never saw anybody. So Friday we actually – the TRC Twitter feed confirmed that Jake Bentley was going to be starting – on Saturday. And it was actually the first confirmation that I saw, or it first that anyone dared to confirm.
Dared.
So I want to tell you guys how we came across that. And because it's a pretty funny story, and I hope it translates as funny on the podcast, because I'm still not going to give away any names, but we have a family friend who is kind of like a second grandmother to my daughter, takes my daughter out, you know, a couple of times a week and spends the day with her. And so this lady texted me on Friday and she says, hey, I met the dad of one of the South Carolina football players. And she put his name in there. And I was like, oh, really? I'm like, you know, that's really cool. And so I didn't think much about it. And then probably about a half an hour later, I texted her back and I said, hey, this guy didn't happen to mention who's starting at quarterback tomorrow. Did he? Just kind of half joking. I really didn't.
Cause you're always looking for the story, man.
Always looking for the story. And so she texts me back. As a matter of fact, he did. He said, South Carolina is starting a new quarterback tomorrow and everybody's really excited about him. So that's when I tweeted out that we had confirmed that Jake Bentley was starting on Saturday. Here's the funniest part is the dad, you know, where she met him was a nail salon. Because the dad of our beefy football player was getting a pedicure. So, you know, always be mindful of who you're talking to, because you never know who might know who might know who that might reveal it on a podcast that nobody listens to anyway. So anyway, it was, I thought it was just kind of funny that we heard, you know, fourth hand through a pedicure that Jake Bentley was going to be starting on Saturday.
Hey, does that make us media?
You know, almost. I mean, we have sources. Almost? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool.
So some more questions. I know T-Bone's not going to go for this. Friend of the podcast, Anthony Goodrow, says he wants to hear T-Bone imitate Todd Ellis's call of our botched extra point.
Well, I don't do imitations. That's not really in my repertoire.
Yeah.
Unless you want me to attempt something like the way Chevy Chase would imitate Gerald Ford, you know. No connection whatsoever. But which play are they wanting?
You know, when the extra point got botched, the snap, and then it got back to Fry, and he rolled out and threw it out of bounds and got plowed under, you know?
Oh, it'd be something like, and again, I'm not trying to imitate Todd's voice. I'm trying to imitate Todd's persona. It would be something like setting up for the field goal. The snap's back. The hold's good. It's a fake. It's a fake. Elliot Fryer, he rolls out. He's fading to the 14, to the 15, to the 16. He fires it in there, and it's through a window into a brownstone apartment building in the back end zone. And then so, we would go to commercial, and we wouldn't know what happened.
So, in other words, he would get it totally
completely
wrong.
Completely wrong. Right.
You know that play reminded me. This is showing my age. And Buck probably remembers this. T-Bone doesn't have as deep a knowledge, I don't think. But you remember the Dolphins? You remember the Dolphins kicker?
Garrow Yeprimian.
Yeprimian, yeah.
Yeprimian, of course.
You remember that play?
Yeah, it's a Super Bowl. It's one of the most famous Super Bowl plays of all time. Yeah.
Right. It kind of reminds me of, that. I was thinking, there he is.
You know, we ought to find a Garrow Yeprimian photo and an Elliott Fry photo and like put them side by side.
Tell me this, since y'all have such deep football knowledge about that play.
Yeah.
That Todd so expertly called. When he rolls out and then throws the ball and then gets his clock cleaned, is it not roughing the passer because the ball already touched the ground? I mean, what's the rule there?
You know,
jacked.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it was a clean hit. I mean, he got hit right when he. So I don't know. I would think he could get a roughing the passer on that if the guy just leveled him, you know, 3 seconds after he threw it. But yeah, that's a good question. I don't always. Because when he rolled out, I was thinking to myself, I'm thinking, okay, who can he throw the ball to? Is everybody eligible, or just the guys on the end of the line of scrimmage? Or
you know what I was thinking? I was just thinking, get rid of the ball. I don't want you to get hurt. I mean, that was my thought.
And he tried to. I think that was his thought, too. Once he saw that there were people coming after him.
The holder and the guys on the end are your only three receivers, and they were all watching him get smeared.
All right. We have a women's soccer question, also from the Feathered Warrior. If USC went – and he said this is specifically for the G-Man since you live in Columbia – if USC women's soccer is in the national championship and the game was held in Columbia, would you go?
Yeah, I'd go.
Sure. Liar.
And then
I'd go.
I think he was anticipating you would say no, and his follow up question was, is there a scenario in which you would go? So I don't know if he's implying, you know, well, if they played in bikinis or, you know, something really sexist like that, which we don't.
That's horrible.
We don't go down that road, Feathered Warrior. I just want to tell you that's it's inappropriate.
Hey, I went to the USC women versus Connecticut last year. I went to several women's basketball games. I'm a fan.
Right.
If there's a big event like that, I'm going to go.
He's been to some equestrian matches.
No, I haven't done that.
Now, you've met.
Yeah, I have met the equestrian team.
You met the equestrian team. Yeah, right.
That's right. And they gave a shout out to TRC.
They did. What were you going to say, Tebow?
I just think, you know, you broached the subject, and we need to dedicate a whole podcast or maybe three to the disparities in uniforms between the men's and women's sports. I mean, why are the men wearing these big baggy uniforms and the women are wearing all these little tight outfits? I don't get it.
Are you saying you want to see the men in tight outfits or the women in loose outfits? Because
I want us to talk about why it's that way.
All right, we'll save that for the next podcast.
Yeah, we'll put that like six podcasts down the line. How about that? You know what we need to do? We can save that for the T-Bone solo podcast.
An evening.
In my brain, it's always a T-Bone solo podcast.
An evening with T-Bone.
Some enchanted evening.
And then we got a couple of butt questions, of course, from the GabbaCast guys. DC3 says, you know, he asks, what are all the types of butt ranked from best to worst? Now, if you're not familiar with why he's asking this question, is TRC does the is the SEC butt rankings every week from 1 to 14.
We're the official SEC butt rankings.
We are the official. So I don't really know how to answer that question. I mean, I don't really know what types of butt there are until I see the teams play every week. So, I mean, it's kind of a moving target, you know. I mean, Arkansas is always going to be pork butt, you know.
Right.
South Carolina is always going to be chicken butt. You know, one of the ones, you know, one of the ones that I haven't had a chance to use yet on Florida is swamp butt. And I haven't broken out swamp butt yet, which I think would be – Florida would have to play pretty bad to be swamp butt. But, you know, Alabama hasn't been close to butt. They're the only team that hasn't been close to butt all year. but they got some challenges coming up. Sam McDowell says, what kind of butt are we? Size, shape, hair, etc. And Sam, that's a little personal, but it's not. I don't know how to answer that question either. I guess if South Carolina was butt, we would be like a flat, shapeless, you know, hairless.
Right.
Or maybe just like peach fuzz, just kind of nondescript. Right. Yeah, now I'm just uncomfortable even answering that question.
This is a wormhole we can't get out of.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, let's have some fun. Nate Kaminsky says, best or worst state fair food? I haven't been to the state fair in like 30 years, so I don't even – we used to eat funnel cakes.
Yeah.
And that was both.
Wasn't there something called an elephant ear?
That was the best and the worst.
Fried ice cream now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have something called a steak sundae, which is basically just like steak and French fries in a cup, which sounds delicious. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then he says, you know, if Brandon McIlwain and Jake Bentley continue to play, you know, what will their name be? Like McBentley or Bentle Wayne.
I don't know. We're going to have to work on that one.
Jandon. Bake. McIlwain.
So what if
I don't know.
McIlwain and Bentley were actually state fair foods?
I don't know. What food would they be?
They would be like mac and cheese fried and put into a bag. So then it would be like a sacked McElvent. Hey,
they've got to get a hell of a lot better than they are to get named
a to get a name.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, it's true.
We're not even close.
Hey, G-Man, did you see the highlights of this Ibrahim Doumba guy we've got committed for next year?
I have seen some highlights. I didn't see the most recent ones, but I hear that he is an athlete.
Holy cow. They just released a new package, I guess, from a tournament he played in. I mean, monster dunks, turnaround baseline jumpers. He was knocking down threes. Man, he looks like a player.
Wouldn't you love just like – If he found like the next Tim Duncan, you know,
right. I would love that.
The guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to basketball season. That's coming up soon. We're going to got a bunch of new players. T-Bone's checking out over there, but, I'm excited.
Yeah. We got one in jail right now, don't we?
Yeah. But we always have one in jail. I mean, that's pretty
right.
Mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of scholarship conditions. You know, we're going to offer you a full ride, but you could be going to jail. You know, one of our players will be in jail in November. So anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to basketball season two. T-Bone's got to go because he's got family stuff. I don't even know what, you know, most of his family doesn't care to be around him. So I don't understand what he has to do. Go to guitar practice or something. Learn how to play the ukulele better than he does.
He doesn't have much to do. He's just trying to make himself look important.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we just talked for almost 50 minutes, and this is one of the worst shows we've ever done. So thanks for hanging in till the end.
Right.
So we hope to get back and talk to you after the Tennessee game next week. For T-Bone and the G-Man, I am Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com. We will talk to you later. Girls out on the floor, gotta make them want to come back for more. Been here since the sun went down. Be here when it comes back around. Earth all week, it's time to play. Gonna get a little bit sideways. Gotta make them wanna, gotta make them wanna come back for more. Hey, now, here we go, DJ, don't you play nothing slow. Keep those girls out on the floor. Gotta make them wanna come back for more. Been here since the sun went
so loud in here I can't hear a thing.